If you did not bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Go ahead and grab you one. Hebrews is in the New Testament, about two-thirds the way through. It's easier to find than most any other book because it's so big. Hebrews chapter number 10. We're going to jump around a little bit today, but we're in our series called Champions of God. We want to become champions for God. And the truth is God has not left us to wonder about it. God has not left us to fret about it. He knows how we can be a champion for him. And he gives it to us right here in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 38. If you found it, say amen. All right. That was the Diet Coke of amens right there. Let's get excited. You're in the house of God. You aren't going to hell anymore because you've trusted Christ. Say amen. All right. I'm excited about that. I'm not trying to take a load up now, but I'm glad we're going to go. Now look at Hebrews 10 and verse 38. It says, the just shall live by faith. Champions of God in 1 Chronicles 19 talks about how that they did valiantly. They stepped out by faith and they let God do what God was going to do. And that's what made them a champion. They lived by faith. Last week we saw Abel as a champion of faith. See, as you transition out of Hebrews 10 into Hebrews 11, God tells you what faith is. It's your confidence level in God. It's you taking God at his word, trusting him to be who he is, who he said he would be, and do what he said he was going to do. That's what faith is. You're trusting him by faith. Then he gives you examples of what it means to live by faith. And last week we saw Abel in verse number 4. But today I want to talk to you, and Abel was the champion of worship. This week I want to show you Enoch, the champion of the daily walk with God. He was a champion in his walk with God. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, it is our desire to be pleasing unto you. Father, that our lives would reflect you and radiate you, and God, that we would be the object of your favor because you've chosen to love us. We are not worthy of your love. You are worthy of everything. You are worthy of our love. You're worthy of our obedience. You're worthy of our worship, God. So today, as we come before you, it is our desire. It's our desire to learn to walk with you, that we may please you. Thank you, Father, that you've given us this opportunity to learn and to grow. And if there's one watching on the internet now or here locally that just hasn't yet become a Christian, hasn't trusted Christ, Father, make yourself real. Father, please convince and convict, and we'll see, and ask and give them the courage to be saved. And we ask, God, that you would speak to us, your children, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, living by faith is what makes people a champion. It's what makes every one of these ordinary people in Hebrews 11 a champion of faith. We refer to Hebrews 11 as the trophy case of faith. It's where God put his trophies. These were ordinary people who served an extraordinary God because they had faith in him. They trusted him. They had confidence in who he was and what he said. It's what made him a champion. Last week we saw the champion Abel, who lived by faith and worshiped by faith. And today we're going to look at Enoch. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis. You see, Hebrews 11 is really just a commentary on the Old Testament story. Go to Genesis chapter 5. Now, Genesis is easy to find. It's the beginning of the Bible. It's what Genesis means, beginning. And it's the first book of the Bible, and it's chapter number 5. Now, it's funny. As you read through chapter 5, it reads like the obituary page at the Washington Post. Look at this. It's crazy. Look at verse 5. It says, and he died. And then look at the end of verse 8. And he died. And in verse number 11, and he died. And in verse 14, and he died. And you're seeing a pattern here, right? And at the end of verse 17, and he died. And verse 20, and he they were born, they lived, they sired a child, and then they died. This is what it means. It's what it says. It's crazy. But there is one man in this chapter who stands out like a dandelion in the desert. Enoch. Because there's no mention of his death. Not one reference to it. Look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. There's nothing mentioned here about his death. Now, what's crazy is the more you study archaeology, the more you find out that archaeology just confirms what the Bible has already said. Because the Phrygian people had a legend of a man named Anicus, who was distinguished for piety. He lived 300 years and foretold of the coming flood. This is who we are talking about, Enoch. In Genesis 5:23, it said he lived 365 years. Now, it's a brief time compared to everybody else. But it says that in Genesis 5:24 that Enoch walked with God. And in Hebrews 11 in verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Why? He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, the story of Enoch is a prophecy of the rapture of the church. Remember last week we talked about how that Genesis is the seedbed of all prophecy. That last week we saw with the life of Abel, we saw the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to read a really interesting chapter of Scripture, read Genesis 22. Abraham takes Isaac. He has to walk 3 days to get to a mountaintop that God said to go to. And there he would set Isaac on an altar of stone and wood. And as he reared back to slay Isaac, God stopped him and said, hold, there's a lamb. And he turns around, there's a lamb. And he substitutes the lamb in place of his son. And at that time, that hilltop was just a desolate place. And Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Talking prophetically. 1400, maybe 1500 years later, on that same hilltop, you could now look over the metropolis of the capital of Israel called Jerusalem. And on that same hilltop, the Son of God was given in place of mankind. Isaac said to his father, where's the lamb? And he said, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Genesis is a seedbed of all prophecy. And in the life of Enoch, we see the rapture of the church, the great catching away, the next event on the prophetic timetable. The only thing, there's nothing else that has to happen before God returns and takes the church out. Are you rapture ready? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready to go? It's closer now. I think sometimes that God was walking with Enoch and God's like, hey, son, are you hungry? And Enoch says, yeah. And he says, well, let's go to my house. It's closer. And God just took him up, you know? And the thing is, yeah, it's a picture of the church. He is coming. He is coming to take us away. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, how fly away. That's what that song's talking about. Or I'll get carried away. When I get carried away, I'll pass the clouds and shout so loud it may sound like thunder. Have you ever heard that song? That's what they're talking about. I know, that's why I put my back to you when they sing in the choir. They don't want me to sing. And the thing is this is a picture of the rapture of the church. This is what Enoch is all about. The main emphasis, though, that I want you to look at today is how he walked with God. He was a champion of God because he walked with God. And it says in Genesis 5:24 that he walked with God. Hebrews 11, it says that because he walked with God, he pleased God. God wants this more than anything else. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God wants. This is what God wants more than anything else. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus a bright, shining, living reality to you? Is he real to you? Is he just some image on a wall hung on a cross? Is he just some story or legend in a book nobody ever opens? Or is he a living, breathing, alive Savior who intercedes for you, who walks with you and talks with you? Can you say that and mean it? Can you say that, I walk with God? Can you honestly say that to yourself? I walk with God and mean it? Well, I know he lives. Well, I come to church to worship. Well, The truth is, you're supposed to bring your worship with you. People will say to me, when they pray, they'll say, Lord, we're coming into your presence. Well, where have you been? Because he's like everywhere. You're in his presence all the time. Do you have a prayer voice? I just want to ask. Do you have a prayer voice? I'm not talking about tongues. I'm talking about a prayer voice. I'll go and I'll be talking with preachers, and then they'll seem normal as preachers are. See, you got to understand one thing about preachers. Preachers are like manure. When they're spread out over a great distance pretty evenly, they can be useful. But when you get them all piled up in one spot, they can be awfully smelly and a nuisance. Did you know that? But anyway, when preachers get to, that's a joke. You'll get it at lunch. All right. So the thing is you get along with preachers and you're talking to them and they seem normal till they pray. And somehow I'll be sitting on the platform at a service and I'm going to preach and he'll get up and he'll seem normal right here. But when he gets over here, somehow he gets a steeple stuck in his throat. Huh? Do you have a prayer voice like that? Where you change? I mean, I believe we ought to be reverent in the house of God. Please, I get that. But who do you think you're fooling? God knows who you are. Do you talk to your father like that? Or do you really talk to your father like he's your dad? See, when you pray, you need to talk to him from your heart. It doesn't take special sounds or special vocalizings. When you walk with somebody, you're in a relationship. You're talking to them. Let me ask you a question. Do you walk with God? Is he alive and real? Do you act differently? Do you act differently out there than you do in church? And like I said, I think you ought to be reverent. I think you ought to be reverent. That's true. Respect the house of God. But do you understand that when I went to church as a kid, every church service felt like a funeral because you couldn't talk and you couldn't make noise. And if the pew creaked, you got pinched by your mother. He had to be quiet. My mother's favorite verse for children in church was, "Be still and know that I am God." Seems like my children's favorite verse was always, "Make a joyful noise." Our theme verse for the nursery is, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." You'll get that at lunch too. All right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So what's it like? Are you different out there than you are in here? You shouldn't be. Our lives need to reflect our walk with God. They do. They really do reflect our walk with God or the absence thereof. But the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Lift your holy hands. Do you know God? Do you walk with him? It says in Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with God. And in Hebrews 11, it says that he pleased God. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, but without faith is it impossible to please him? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I guess that's the best way to say, how do you walk with God? By diligently seeking him. He pleased God. It's interesting. If you, many of you in here have Twitter, and you use Twitter, and that's pretty, and that's kind of cool. But if you had to tweet your life in a summary, just summarize your life in a tweet, 140 characters, what would it say? I mean, God tweeted out 2,000 years ago, or however many years ago when he wrote this, thousands of years ago, he tweeted out the life of Enoch in one phrase. Enoch walked with God and pleased God. 39 characters is all it took to say all that. Enoch walked with God and pleased God. I mean, what would be the sum total of your life? What's it going to be? If God had to tweet your life, what would it be in 140 characters? Some of you are like, dude, it's going to be 280 pretty soon. We're going to double it. No, that's going to be exciting. No. Can you just do it in 39 characters? You walked with God and you pleased God. Like every other champion of faith, Enoch lived by faith. And it takes faith to walk with God. But where did Enoch get faith with God? Just the same place you get it, from the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm not talking about the Logos. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Rama. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you through God's Word. Has God spoken to you? people falsely assume that Enoch lived in a time where there was very limited knowledge of God and very limited knowledge of what was coming in the future. And that's not true. Take your Bible and go to the back of the Bible. Just before the book of the Revelation, there's a small book named Jude. Now, Jude was a book of the Bible written by Jesus' half-brother named Jude. And in verses, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. And in verses 14 and 15, you see that Enoch is actually a prophet. Look at this, Jude, be chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Do you realize that Enoch was a prophet and he looked down through the corners of time and was able to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Because Adam and Enoch lived at the same time. See, Adam was 622 years old when Enoch was born. And Adam lived for another 308 years after Enoch was born. How many of you ever go to a family reunion? How many of you do that? Huh? You do that? When you get around the old timers, do you ask them silly questions like, did they have paper when you went to school? Huh? Do you ever do that? Father, what was it like before the car, Father? You ever do that? You ever do that, huh? Imagine Enoch. He goes to be great, 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 great grandpa Adam. What was it like to walk in the garden with God? And Adam's eyes fill with tears and his lip begins to quiver. Because he used to walk in fellowship in the cool of the day with the Heavenly Father. And through a decision, he destroyed all that. Enoch was not living at some time when people didn't know God, but walked with God. Enoch lived his faith. He knew God. He walked with God. He heard from God. He was a prophet of God. Because Enoch's life was a walk of faith. That's why it says in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated. The expression walked with God denotes a devout life that lives in close communion with God. Now it all starts by being saved. It all starts by having a relationship with God. Enoch was of the godly line Seth. You had Cain was the firstborn, then Abel, then Cain killed Abel. And Cain went off to the land of Nod and started a whole group of family. Then Seth was born. And then six generations later, you had Enoch. He was from the godly line of Seth. But Enoch knew he needed a Savior. For there's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says. And the wages of sin is death. He could talk to the one who actually put us all in this mess for 300 years. Great, 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 great grandpa Adam could explain to him how the whole world now is in sin, how there's thorns on roses, how the animals kill one another, how we die. Adam could explain it firsthand, having been the one through which death by sin came. Sin came first, then death by sin. And God spoke to Enoch directly. And Enoch, well, take your Bible, turn to Romans 4. I'm going to show you how it happened. How did somebody like Enoch get saved? Well, look at Romans chapter number 4. People ask me this all the time. How do people before Jesus get saved? Well, look at Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. This is how it was, my brothers and sisters. Prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, how did they get saved? Well, Romans 4 and verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Wednesday night's message was on justification, the doctrine of salvation, and the subset of it was justification. Just if I'd never sinned. That's what justification means. That because Enoch trusted God, because Abraham trusted God, because Noah trusted God, their faith was counted for righteousness. And they were justified. justified. Just if I'd never sinned. That's what it means. Enoch walked with God, and it started with a relationship with God. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Are you saved? Well, when did you get saved? You were there. How did you get saved? I wasn't there. You're going to have to tell me about it. Enoch would say, I'd heard from my parents, my grandparents about the truth of God the Father. I called upon him and believed. He and I have walked together ever since, and my faith has been counted for righteousness. When did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? When did you receive him as your Savior? Is he a bright, living reality to you now? To walk with God, it starts with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Number two, to walk with God means to walk in fellowship with God, that intimate time. Have you ever asked yourself, why did God save you? I mean, why did God save you? Why did he pick you? Why did he save you? You ever think of that? Why did he save you? Well, he wanted me to serve him. He'd have been better off just leaving it with the angels. You know what I'm saying? Than us. No, he didn't want servants. And he dead sure didn't want scholars. He wanted people who would walk in fellowship with him, in intimacy. He wanted to walk with you. I mean, what do you get the guy who has everything? Right? Think about it. Trying to buy grandma or grandpa presents for Christmas. What do you get them? They got everything in triplicate. You buy them a photo album. And you pack it full of memories. Walking with God is giving God the one thing you can give him that nobody else can. That's memories with you. Time with you. That's what it means to walk with God. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your stuff. He wants you. He wants time with you. Why do you think heaven has a glory fit every time somebody trusts Christ as their Savior? God's got somebody he knew he can hang out with. He's excited. What do you give him? You give him memories. You give him time with you. Fellowship, though, requires God, or requires faithfulness to God. Take your Bible, go back to Genesis 5:22. So when I ask you and say, is Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, are they living bright realities in your life? I'm talking about the fact, do you walk with God? Do you spend time with him? What memories does he have with you? Look at Genesis 5:22. To have fellowship with God, you have to have a relationship with God. I get that. You have to have intimacy with God, but you also have to have faithfulness. Look at Genesis 5:22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. That's 109,500 days. That means Enoch walked with God day in and day out. That means Enoch walked with God when it was cold and when it wasn't cold. When it was a good day or when it was a bad day. When it was seed time and when it was harvest. 300 years he walked with God. Do you realize that it takes 500 gallons of water to add to the church? Did you know that? It takes 3 raindrops to keep the place empty on a Sunday. Some of you will get that at lunchtime today too. Huh? It takes faithfulness. He walked with God day in and day out for 300 years. A life of faith requires faithfulness. Enoch walked with God. You know, Enoch didn't live in a monastery. You say, oh no, Enoch lived at a time when it was easy. No, he didn't. He lived in the days of Noah. He lived where every thought and intent of everybody's heart was to do evil continually. Enoch walked at a time when it says he went on to have sons and daughters. That means all of his descendants, except Noah and his kids, died and perished in the flood. He lived at a time that was just as tough as our time. You know, Enoch, he just didn't live in a monastery. Do you understand? Enoch was a farmer and a herdsman. The guy had a farm to take care of. He had cows to milk and hogs to slop. And he had chickens to feed. He had things to do. He had deadlines. He didn't just do nothing all day. Do you realize that Enoch had to work? But yet he walked with God every single day for 300 years. Why is it little Junior gets a sniffle and the whole family got to stay home from church to wipe their nose? Holy cow, it got quiet in here. I love you. But do you understand walking with God sometimes is inconvenient to your own personal agenda? It just is. Now, it does, though, say something funny here that I find interesting. It says here that Enoch had not walked with God until something changed in his life. Look at Genesis 5:22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Nothing changes your life like having a kid. Can I get an amen? Huh? You bring that little bundle of joy home, right? And you open up the package and you're looking between their toes and behind their ears and in between their fingers, making sure everything's where they're supposed to be, right? And you're like, I saw a post this week on Facebook. It was so precious. I'm at home, the baby's crying, and I don't know what to do. Yeah, I've been there. Amen. Anybody else been there? Huh? Little package, a bundle of joy. I'd take him out. When Josh was born, I carried him out to my mom. I said, Mama, we got a boy. And she goes, no, that boy's got you. How many of you, since you've had a child, had a night's sleep where you didn't worry a little? I still get up and check the doors and the windows and make sure they're still breathing and go back to bed. Enoch walked with God after he had Methuselah. Now, the Bible says that whenever God's going to bring judgment, God's going to give a warning. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says that God sent a warning. Let me read it to you. It says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The word name Methuselah meant when he will be dead, it will be sent. That's what the name Methuselah meant. The name Methuselah meant when this boy dies, the flood's coming. Talk about being concerned for the health of your child, right? Michelle, every time that kid probably got a sniffle, he went outside and checked the weather. You know what I'm saying? Because he knew it was coming. That little boy dies, we're done. You know? Because that's what his name meant. Living with prophecy. But he was faithful. Parents, do you understand there's no greater necessity for you and I than to walk with God right now? Because our children will not become what we tell them. They will become what we are. And Enoch walked with God for 300 years. So fellowship with God requires faithfulness, but it also requires communing with God. The word communing is talked about in Hebrews 11:6. It says, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that word communing, the Bible word is meditation. I met a man here recently who said, every Sunday morning I get up at 9 a.m. and I meditate. And I said, well, what's that like? Well, I sit in a quiet place and I clear my mind of all thought. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The devil's got enough access to your mind. You don't need to open it up to that knucklehead. What you need to do is understand the word meditation, if you look it up in the dictionary, actually means to take a thought and turn it over and over and over, like chewing gum, like a cow chews its cud. You're to bring it up and you're to chew on it and chew on it. That's what meditation means. Look it up in dictionary.com. It means to continually think on or to turn a thought over, to think on the word of God. The Bible says in Genesis 24 that Isaac every night would go out and walk in the field and he would meditate on God. You know, we're talking about the man who God spoke to. He had the actual direct revelation from God and he would think about what God said and who God was and how God blessed him. And he would think about that over and over again. And through that, he would grow in his faith and in his trust for the Lord. You want to walk with God? Then you need to meditate on God's word. You need to put it in your mind. When's the last time you actually had a quiet moment? When's the last time it was quiet? I mean, there's so much noise between TV, radio, internet, the phone. I mean, it's wearying to the soul. But when's the last time you found you quieted your spirit and just thought on God's word? Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 55. Listen to this now. Psalm 55, middle of the Bible, just to the left, the dead center. Psalm 55 and verse 16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Look at Psalm 104 and verse number 33. Psalm 104 and verse number 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Do you realize when you're in the moment of struggle and trial, you need to take the second most important songbook or book in your house, which is your hymn book, and pull it out and sing some songs. Sing unto the Lord. Before you read your Bible in the morning, sing a verse or two of a hymn or a spiritual song and get your heart rate. Our God is an awesome God, and He reigns from heaven above. Just sing it out unto the Lord. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Sing that out to Him and then read your Bible and meditate upon it. You need a personal daily walk with God. In 104 verse 34 it says, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 63 is a complete list of how to know Him and walk with Him and what He wants. It's called musing or meditating on God's Word. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 15. Listen to what the Bible reads in Psalm 119. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse number 97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. We need to meditate on God's Word. And one of the ways you do that is by memorizing God's Word. Psalm 119 and verse 9 reads, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We must memorize God's word. And you know, some of the things you've got in your head need to be scraped out. Scraped out. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 32 says, is not my word like as a hammer, saith the Lord, that breaketh a rock in pieces? And as a fire, saith the Lord? You take and you renew your mind. So walking with God requires fellowship through faithfulness, through fruitfulness, through communing. Based on this, are you walking with God? Can you say that? Can you honestly look your spouse in the face and go, I walk with God? Would it cause your spouse to have a heart attack if you went, well, I'll talk to the Lord about it in a minute and then I'll let you know what He said? Is He a real living reality in your life? It's the sole reason you exist now that you're saved, is because God wants to spend time with you. He wants to walk with you. Would you classify yourself as God's friend? The Bible said that He spoke with Abraham, that Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible spoke of Moses as God spoke to him face to face, like a man would speak to his friend. To walk with God is to please God. And to walk with God is to be ever conscious of His presence, that He's with you all the time. Talk to Him. That's why it says pray without ceasing. Why? Because He's always there. Talk to Him. It's what He desires most. Do you realize that you have to make it intentional? Enoch had a daily intentional interaction with God. It says that Noah walked with God, Genesis 6, 9. In Genesis 17, 1, it says that Abraham walked with God. In Micah 6, 8, it says that you and I, this is what God expects of us, that we walk with God. Have you ever played hide and seek? When's the last time you played hide and seek? I did it when I was a teenager. The goal was you couldn't hide inside. You had to stay outside, and you had to keep your hand on your bicycle. But you had to be inside the city limits, and it was only 3 blocks by 10 blocks. Okay, so it wasn't hard. But you could hide. You had to hide. You ever play hide and seek? Do you play hide and seek at the office? Is there somebody at the office you just assume not? You avoid? Huh? You kind of, oh gosh, don't tell her I'm in. You know, is that an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend or somebody you knew that? Now that they like, or is there somebody improperly advancing and you're like, man, a guy gets in my space all the time. And you just try to hide from him? Huh? There's been years I'd stay off Facebook because I really didn't care where my exes were. I mean, why do you think I have this haircut and these glasses? Just keep, You'll get some of that at lunch too. You guys need to be making notes. These are jokes. Okay, so the truth is, do you hide? Do you intentionally hide from people? Do you hide from God? Think about it. Adam and Eve would walk with God in the cool of the day until when? until they sinned. And then they hid. They won't spend time with God. Not that they don't love God. No, we would never say that. We would never say, I don't love God. We would never say that. We would never say, I don't want God in my life. We would never say that. But the truth is, the way we live our lives, it's almost like we're trying to hide from Him. Does sin cause you to hide from God? The Bible says in Psalm 24, the Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands will ascend into the hill of the Lord and stand in His holy place. He that hath a pure heart and hath not sworn deceitfully, nor lifted up his soul unto vanity. Does sin keep you from walking with God? Do you know God already knows and loves you anyway? Listen, you and I are Christians, and that we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior, but until He takes us to glory, we will still live in the presence of sin, and it will be a daily struggle over the power of sin in our life, and we're going to win and we're going to lose. Many times we're going to lose more than we win. But if we'll keep short accounts with God, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, you know what's funny is, Miss Haley, do you realize if you confess a sin today, and God will forgive you for doing it, that tomorrow if you call Him back up in prayer and go, hey, remember I talked to you about such and such yesterday, you know what God will say? No, I'm sorry, I forgot. I don't know anything about it. Didn't happen. Just if I'd never sin. Now, if you recommit that sin today, well, then that's a different story. But do you understand? God forgives and God forgets. Keep short accounts with God. Talk to God about it. Don't hide from God about it. Listen, Enoch walked with God and he was a sinner just like the rest of us. He wasn't perfect. That's not what made him a champion for God. What made him a champion for God is every day he walked with God. He had intentional interaction with God, and confession and repentance was, I'm surely, a daily process for this man. Just like it is for me. Just like it is for you. But we are to walk with God. He understands we're weak. He understands we're sinners. He wants us to be responsive to His Spirit. He wants us to obey when He prompts us to talk to people or to witness or to do something. He has divine appointments for you. You are somebody's miracle moment. You just don't know it yet. If you're saved, somebody interjected themselves in your life in some way. Maybe it was a mom or a dad. Maybe it was a cousin. Maybe it was a friend from high school. But somebody interjected into your life themselves, and God used them. Tuesday night, I got to talk to somebody and lead them to the Lord. They got a track from one of the people in our church. It opened up a door for a conversation. I didn't plant the seed. But somebody was faithful to just give it out, to just be prompted by the Holy Spirit to go, here, give it to that person. Give it to that person. Talk to that person. That was a divine appointment. That was a miracle moment at the commissary. Of all places, a miracle moment happened that led to salvation of a soul. You are somebody's miracle moment. You are somebody's divine appointment. God wants you to walk with Him so He can move upon you and press you and do things. Why do you think He's left you on this planet? For two reasons. One, so you could walk with Him and have fellowship and make memories. And number two, so you could walk with Him and form His will and that others would see Him. Are you walking with God? It's a walk of faith. It's a walk trusting Christ for who He said He is and what He said He would do. Enoch had this testimony that he walked with God and that he pleased God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you walking with God? You can. If you're lost today, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you died today and you're not sure heaven's your home, you got to ask answer these three questions. Are you saved? Yes, no, or from what? Number two, when did you get saved? If you think you're saved, if you think you're born again, when did that happen? Number three, how did it happen? If you're trusting in anything but the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then my friend, you need to be saved. You cannot walk with God you do not have a relationship with. Step two, if you're saved, is there sin in your life? Is it pride? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? What is keeping you from wanting to have intimate fellowship in God and with God? What's keeping that? Listen, if we confess our sins, hey, everybody, listen. If we confess our sins, He'll forgive us right now. We'll be in fellowship with Him. We can walk with Him. We can make memories with Him. We can have intimacy with Him. As we meditate upon His Word and muse upon Him in prayer, you'll walk with Him. And you will please Him. Our Father and our God, in the next few moments, I ask that You'd speak to every heart and every soul. You know what is lacking. You know what is in the way. You know what it is, God, that You want from us. So speak to every heart and every soul accordingly. Try us, Holy Spirit. Show us, Holy Spirit, what is missing, what is yet to be done, and what is in the way. And we will respond. Speak, Holy Spirit. And we'll praise You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the invitation time of the service. It's an opportunity for you to come and lay those burdens down. It's a time for you to come and deal with God, talk with God, have a moment with God. Come. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'm here.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Are you struggling with the question, why can't I change my life? Is that you? Listen, God has the answer. Just come up here today and just commit to the Lord. If you're saved, come up here and say, God, I'm going to put off the old man. And by faith, I'm going to walk with You and put on the new man, being renewed in my spirit and my mind every day. I'm coming now to commit to this. Come. That's why you can't change your life. That's why it doesn't change. Not permanently. Come.
Come here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what
do you have a lost son or daughter? Maybe a lost brother or sister. And you so desperately want to see them saved. What they need to see is you walking with God, not in judgment or condemnation of them, but in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Real, alive, vibrant. They need to see the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering in you. They're never going to get saved until they see it in you. Won't you walk with God? Doesn't mean perfection. It just means a daily interaction that is intentional, that you do it every day with the understanding, I'm doing it because I want to spend time with my God. The results are up to Him. You're just doing it out of love.
Where my heart becomes free. And my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
our Father and our God, we ask for your blessing today. God, that you would speak to us. As we go from this place, God, we would take with us the understanding of your desire for us to be involved with you daily, that you long for this. And God, let us come to you like a child and just curl up in your lap each day for a minute and just spend it with you. And Father, as we go from this place, may others see us walking with you. May others see the peace, the love, the joy, the long-suffering. And God, as they experience that, I pray, Father, you would shine the light of the gospel in their life that they may be saved. And Father, today, as we go from this place, let us commit together to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.